This is Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Friday, October 22nd, 2010. I'm Steve Henn, in for John Moe. It's another day and another privacy problem at Facebook. This time, the social network appears to be outing gay and lesbian users to advertisers. Christopher Segoyan's a privacy researcher at Indiana University. He brought this problem to our attention.
For the longest time, the company has allowed people to target ads based on their zip code or their age or their gender. And apparently they've been allowing advertisers to target ads based on sexuality for some time, too. But a team of researchers from both Microsoft and Max Planck in Germany were able to do a survey of ads on Facebook. And they found a fairly substantial number of ads that were targeted to gay men that were not intuitively gay ads. So that, you know, they weren't for gay dating websites or gay bars. And so the privacy issue here is that when you click on one of these ads, if the website is only targeting gay males or lesbian females, then the moment you visit their site, they instantly know that you are gay or lesbian.
So wasn't one of these ads for a nursing school in Florida?
Right. So there's nothing intuitive in a nursing school ad that tells you, oh, by the way, you're being targeted because you're gay.
And if I am a gay man and I click on that ad and I fill out an application for the school, then presumably the school knows about my sexuality?
Certainly. The university knows who they targeted the ads to. And I think that's one of the reasons why this is so troubling, because Facebook is not telling users how the ads are targeted. Up until now, Facebook has always made this claim that while they allow advertisers to deeply target ads, the advertiser are never told who the ads are shown to. The advertiser gives Facebook the ad, and Facebook picks the users that the ad will be displayed to. But what this study shows is that while there are no privacy issues for the display of an ad, the moment you click on the ad, your information is in the hands of the advertiser.
Facebook didn't get back to us for this story, but you don't have to follow the news too closely to know there's been a constant drip, drip, drip of privacy problems at the company. Jason Kaufman is a research fellow at Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. He's been following college students' Facebook use for years.
We started the project in 2005 when Facebook was very new, and basically everyone's information was out there. And what we saw is a very fast adoption of privacy settings. By about 2007, I would say about half of the students had them.
And Jason says that Facebook's privacy settings may be part of the problem. He thinks for many users, those settings create an illusion of control.
It seems that they may, in the sense that one conservative approach to Facebook would be to assume that anything you put there is public information. That if somebody wants to try hard enough to learn about you, the data you put there can be accessed. As it is, the privacy settings are confusing and multiple enough that I don't think anyone is actually all that sure what's protected and what's not. And furthermore, because Facebook data is linked to your friends, you're vulnerable not only to the data you display on Facebook, but to the data your friends display.
Chris Segoyan says all of these privacy problems are built into Facebook's business model.
Facebook users are not paying Facebook for the privilege of going onto the site. Facebook's true customers are the advertisers who are paying for access to Facebook users' data. Facebook is allowing advertisers to deeply target their customers. That entire process is plagued with potential privacy issues.
And that means you'll probably keep hearing stories like this one for years. Another story we're covering at MarketplaceTech.org. Close to a quarter of a million Germans have asked Google to blur out images of their homes when the tech giant launches its Street View service there later this year. Initially, to opt out of Street View, Germans had to write Google a letter. That's right, an actual letter. But eventually the search giant relented and allowed folks to opt out online. Producer Larissa Anderson's here with big news about the world's first all-robotic surgery.
Well, yeah, it's mostly robotic surgery. It's really two robots and a doctor removing someone's prostate. One is named McSleepy. That's mm-hmm. the anesthesiologist. The other is called Da Vinci, and it lets a doctor see high-def 3D images to perform surgery from a remote location.
So what's the big advantage in letting robots dig around in our insides?
Well, Steve, it's all about precision. Da Vinci can make really fine movements, and McSleepy, the anesthesiologist, can get the dose just right. And in this case, the robots worked very well together.
Well, that's a good thing.
Lessons learned from this operation will help doctors figure out how to bring all robotic surgery to other patients. Maybe you someday.
Hopefully not. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at Marketplace Tech. I'm Steve Henn, in for John Moe. This is Marketplace Tech Report.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.